Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurrah. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Our scripture lesson this morning is from the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark. I'm beginning with the 14th verse. Hear this God's word for us today. And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a man which by going into him can defile him. But the things which come out of a man are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a man from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and so passes on? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he said, "What comes out of a man is what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man." The word of God for the people of God. Thank you, and you may be seated. Would you bow with me so we go to God in prayer? And now, God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to these your people. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I read a story years ago, told as a true story, about a medical doctor back in the early part of the 20th century. He was seeing a patient, a young woman, and she had a plethora of physical ailments. It was just one thing after the other. This long list of things that were wrong with her. And then she also got to talking about resentments, some anger in her life, anger towards other people, hostility, resentment, grudges that she held against some folks. So when the doctor did the physical examination, he was not surprised to discover that he could not find anything physically wrong with her causing these physical ailments. It was his conclusion, therefore, that what was causing her physical ailments was the poisonous attitude that she had, which a lot of folks in the medical world will be quick to tell you that that kind of stuff can impact us physically. It was the grudges, the resentment, the hostility, the anger that she had held and built up inside of her. And so he took her after the physical examination into another room that was right next to the exam room. And in that room, there was a wall that was lined with shelves. And on those shelves were bottles. There were bottles on every shelf. The shelves were filled with empty bottles. And he said to the woman, you see all those bottles there on the shelf? She said, sure, I see them. He said, you know, I have a choice, he said. I can fill those bottles with whatever I choose to fill them with. I can fill those empty bottles with poison, for example. I could fill those bottles with enough poison to hurt someone, to harm someone, to do great physical damage. In fact, he said, if I chose, I could fill those bottles with enough poison to kill a person, if I chose. And he said, and I have that choice. But he said, but I also could choose to fill those same bottles with medicine. Enough medicine to bring down a fever, medicine to fight off an infection, medicine to heal. But I have that choice. I can put in those bottles whatever I choose. And he looked at the lady and he said, look, he said, this is what I believe. He said, I believe that God has created us and that God has given us the gift of life. And what I believe is that a part of that gift that God gives it to us is the ability to choose what we are going to put into every day of our life. We have that choice, you and I. We can choose what we're going to put in our bottle every single day. For example, he said, we can choose to fill our bottle, our hearts, with poisonous attitudes. Poisonous attitudes that can impact not only us, but those around us and can cause great harm. Or, he said, we can choose to put in our bottle, in our hearts, in our lives, the gift that God has given to us. We can choose to put into that gift every day positive attitudes of love and acceptance and that which builds others up. And in so doing, gives us life. And he looked at the lady, and this is what he said. He said, the choice of what we put in our bottle is up to us. That choice is up to us. You know, I think that's a part of what Jesus is saying to us in our scripture lesson this morning. It's not everything. It's not everything in our lesson, but it's a part of what's going on in our lesson. You remember our lesson this morning. Jesus was talking about things that come in from the outside, and those things that come in from the outside and enter into our lives, that's not really what's important. Jesus said that's not really, those things that come in from the outside are not what define who we are. The things from the outside that come into our life are not the things that defile us. Jesus said it's what's inside. It's what's inside our heart. It's what's inside our bottle. That's what matters. That's what matters the most. And that's what defines who we really are. Who we really are. And so with that as a backdrop, what I want you to do this morning is I want you to listen to our lesson once again today. You remember the disciples were having a hard time. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And so Jesus said, well, here, let me explain it to you again. It's not what's outside. It's not the things that are outside that defile a person. You see, what was going on in that time is there were people, my goodness, there were people like us. They were just like us. And there were people that they wanted to do what God wanted them to do. They wanted to live the way God wanted them to live. Isn't that what we want? And that's what they wanted. They wanted to be the people that God was calling them to be. But what they thought is that the way to do that was by following all the do's and the don'ts of the law, what was legislated. That which came from the outside. And they just felt like if they followed that law, if they followed all that came from the outside, they could be who God wanted them to be. And Jesus said, no. It's not what comes in from the outside that's so important. It's not what comes in from the outside that defines who we are. It's what's in our heart. That's what really matters. That's what defines us. And that's what defiles us. And so then he started listing stuff. And he said to them, "What comes out of a man is what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts." Fornication, he said. You know, I hope none of us have been involved in that, fornication. But I'm going to tell you, I've been in churches where there are folks who have. Evil thoughts, fornication, theft. He mentions theft. I would hope that none of us in here have been involved in that as well. Theft, you know. You know what I normally think of when I hear the word theft or stealing? It's like, you know, breaking into someone's home and taking something, or breaking into a business, or robbing a bank. Yeah, that's theft. But that's not the only kind of theft, and I forget that sometimes. You ever not paid somebody what they really deserved? You ever done that? You know, sometimes you can steal a person's honor. Now, have you ever known anybody to do that? They steal a person's honor and integrity. Theft. Kind of an interesting thing. Murder. Whew. Sure hope none of you have done that. Murder. I'd keep it to yourself if I were you, if you have. Murder. But you know what? You can take someone's life, but you can take someone's life in a lot of ways, can't you? You can kill a person's spirit. I know that for a fact. I've seen it happen. I've watched it happen. Murder. Adultery. I hope that's never impacted you, but I tell you what, in my 36 years of marriage, I can't count the number of times that I've counseled with couples. And adultery has been the issue, and it's destroyed. Destroyed families, destroyed. Destroyed marriages. Adultery. Coveting. Uh-oh. Jesus gone to meddling now, hasn't he? Coveting. See, he's getting real personal, because we all do that, don't we? You ever had a time in your life where you really wanted what somebody else had? Maybe their possessions, maybe their positions. You ever had a time in your life where you said, you know what? Hey, that job belonged to me. I should have gotten that job. I was the one that should have gotten that promotion. You know, not this guy over here. Let me tell you a little something about ministers. We do this a lot, this coveting. Hey, I should have been appointed at that church, you know. Coveting. Whew, it's starting to get personal. Deceit. Deceit. You know, deceit is just not being truthful, not being completely truthful, deceitful. Another word for it is lying. Have you ever heard somebody say, I've never lied, I've never told a lie? Have you ever heard anybody say that? If you ever hear anybody say that, I've never told a lie, that's a lie. Because we all do it. Hey, come on. Everybody does it. Nobody is completely truthful 100% of the time. And Jesus calls us on that. So he calls us on that. And you know what he's doing when he's listening to these things? He's saying, look, guys, this is what's important. These are the things that matter. This is what's important. Stop judging people on this other stuff. This is what's important. Not what you legislate from the outside. It's what comes out of the heart. This is what's important. And look at the things that he mentions here. It's really interesting. Coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, sexual promiscuity, licentiousness, envy. There it is again, envy, just being jealous. You ever been jealous? You ever been jealous of somebody else? Their situation, their life, their circumstances, slander. Just not being truthful again. Slander. It's when you know how it is. It's when you say something, it just doesn't tell the whole truth, perhaps. Or maybe it has no bearing in facts at all. It's just, you know, it's just something. You ever heard somebody, you ever been a part of a conversation and somebody said, hey, I don't know whether this is true or not, but the word out on the street is. Or you've been a part of that and you heard it and you knew doggone well it wasn't true, but you didn't say anything. Slander. It's an interesting thing what he mentions there. Slander, pride, We don't even have to talk about that, do we? Pride. And he said, and then he sums it up. Foolishness. Just foolishness. Foolishness. All these evil things. He calls those evil. All these evil things, they come from within. And that's what matters. That's what he's saying. This stuff. This is what matters. You see what he's saying? See what Jesus is saying to us this morning? Jesus is saying, so oftentimes we forget what's really most important. What Jesus is saying is what's inside. It's what's inside. It's what's in our heart. You know, another way of saying that, it's what's in our bottle. It's what we have chosen to put in our bottle. That's what really matters. A couple of years ago, I read about something, a fundraiser over in Nashville, been going on for years. In fact, a couple of years ago, when I read it, it was the 17th. It was the 17th annual Promise Gala. Have you heard of the Promise Gala? I had not heard of it, but I read about it, and I'm going to tell you, this Promise Gala is a great thing. It's a fundraiser to raise funds for a cure for type 1 diabetes that affect youth and young adults. That's what it's for. And you got these young kids, you know, diagnosed type 1 diabetes, and they live the rest of their life with finger pricks and insulin pumps and waking up in the middle of the night searching for a juice box because their insulin is low and living with stress, not knowing when it's going to happen again and all that kind of stuff. So they developed this 19 years ago, this Promise Gala. 2 years ago, it was the 17th annual Promise Gala to raise funds to do something about it. And the way they raised the funds is they had an auction. You ever been to an auction? I've been to a few of those in communities raising funds. You know, you get those cards. Again, you got a number on it. And, you know how it works. You want to raise the bid, you raise your card. And they raised a lot of money for this great cause. They got down to the last item. The last item is always the best item. It's always the most expensive item. It's always the one that's going to bring the most money. And it was a painting that had been inspired by these youth that had type 1 diabetes. And the name of the painting was Dreams of the Future. And what it was is it was the dreams of these 10 young people that had inspired the painting. And their dreams were, you know, all kinds of things. One of them dreamed of going to Harvard, to law school, medical school. One of them had dreamed of being a veterinarian. Another one had dreamed of playing in the NFL. One of them dreamed that they would be the one to come up with a cure for type 1 diabetes. And what they did is they put all of those dreams in this painting. It was now time to auction it off. And as they started auctioning, the bid got up pretty high pretty quick. And people noticed that there was this one guy, big guy, and he was in the back part of the auditorium. There were 830 people there, and he was back in the back part of the auditorium. But you know how it works. If you want to raise the bid, you raise your card, you know, and then you lower it. And then if somebody else bids it, and you got the decision whether you're going to, you know, raise it again or not. If you do, you raise your card, your bid card up. Well, what was interesting about this one guy sitting in the back is he never dropped his bid card. He was number 486. That was his number, number 486. Number 486 never dropped his card. So if somebody upped the bid, man, I mean, just instantaneously, you know, they said 1,000. He was ready at 1,500. He didn't even drop his card. Bid went up to 2,000. Bid went up to 3,000. Bid went up to 5,000. Number 486, he just held his card up, never dropped it. Along about that time, there was one of the girls that was up on the stage. She was 11 years old. Her name was Taylor. Taylor was diagnosed type 1 diabetes on Easter Sunday. That's when they diagnosed her. Easter Sunday in April of 2012. She lived with it all that time. And Taylor noticed number 486, and she made eye contact with number 486. And number 486 made eye contact with Taylor. And when they made eye contact, Taylor started crying. And number 486, he started crying because Taylor was his daughter. And he just held his bid card up. And people, they noticed something about number 486. He had this look of utter determination on his face. There was no way that number 486 was going to let any one of the other 830 people that were there that night outbid him. He was determined. He never dropped his card. And all of a sudden, number 486 got up from where he was seated, and he started walking down the aisle, and he started walking. He got up on that stage, and the bid just kept going up and up and up, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000. Number 486, he just kept his card up. And he walked up to Taylor, and he put his arm around her. And you can Google this, and you'll see a picture. And it's the picture of number 486. And Taylor, his 11-year-old daughter, and they're standing there, and they're hugging each other, and he's got his card up, number 486, and there are tears running down his face, and there are tears running down her face, because number 486 wasn't going to lose. Number 486 wasn't going to be outbid. Number 486 is a guy named John Robinson. He's the general manager of the Tennessee Titans. He graduated from my alma mater, high school alma mater in Union City. He was utterly determined. Utterly determined. So determined that he never lowered his card. He has that kind of attitude in dealing with free agents and acquiring free agents and making trades. But people said that those who have known him making trade, free agents, they said as determined as he is in those trades, they've never seen him this determined before. He was simply not going to be outbid. They asked him about it when the auction was over, and this is what he said. He said, look, it's just a sign of a father's love, a sign of the love of a father for his daughter and the willingness to do whatever he could to make her life better. Listen to me. Listen to this. We worship a God who will not be outbid. You and I worship a God who has his bid card up for you and for me, and he'll never lower his bid card. God will never drop his bid card for you. There's nothing you can ever do, nothing you can ever do that will cause God to drop his bid card. Not even the cross could outbid him. He beat even the cross for you and for me. Listen, guys, if that ever gets through our thick heads, we can't live life the same way again, because you know what it does? When it gets through our thick heads, we change what we put in our bottle. You can't see other people the same way when you know that God won't let theft, covetousness, slander, deceit that we get involved in, he will not let that cause him to drop his bid card. And when we get that, it changes the way we live. It can't help but change the way we live. Chrislyn mentioned General Conference in her prayer this morning. And she's right. There are people that are hurt, the people that are disappointed with the decision, and there are other people that are doing a victory lap. And then there are people in between. There's all kinds of people when it comes to that decision. But here's the deal we must not forget as United Methodist people, because this is a part of our discipline as well. We believe as United Methodist people, followers of Christ, and this is in our discipline, that all people are worthy in the eyes of God. That's in the discipline as well. All people. We believe that. And therefore, we believe that all people are welcome in our congregations. All people are welcome. Those who have been involved in slander, those that are jealous, those that have coveted, those that have been deceitful, everybody's welcome. You know why? Because God's not dropping his bid card. Not on your behalf, not on my behalf. God keeps his bid card raised for us. That means that whether we are Republican or Democrat, male or female, black or white, young or old, divorced or single, heterosexual, homosexual, God loves us. God has breathed the same breath of His into every life, and He will not be outbid. And you cannot legislate that. You hear what I'm saying this morning? God will not be outbid. And when we get that and when we experience that in our lives, my friends, it cannot help but change us. It cannot help but change the way we live and look at other people, the way we give, the way we serve. It cannot help but change us. It cannot. And we have a choice. We can put that same love in our bottle. Let me close with this. In 1994... I was appointed a senior pastor at First United Methodist Church in Lubbock, Texas. I had been serving Aldersgate United Methodist in Slidell, Louisiana, and I knew one Sunday we always had visitors in that church. It's a rapidly growing congregation, the fastest growing in Louisiana. I knew we always had visitors, but one Sunday there was something peculiar about four women. I watched them come in together. They all came in together, and then I watched them go to different parts of the congregation. So I knew something was up. That next week, I found out what was up. They were visitors from First United Methodist in Lubbock. The bishop called me. He had gotten permission from my bishop in Louisiana to talk to me. He said, "You had visitors in your congregation Sunday." I said, "Yeah, I noticed that." He said, "Well, what you don't know is they visited churches in New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas. They're the hardest bunch of people to please I've ever been around." But he said, they come to your church, and they would like for you to come and be their senior pastor. That's what they want. They went back to their staff parish committee, and that's what they said. And so I'd like to fly you and your wife out to Lubbock, and you visit with them. It's your choice. You get to decide. Gee whiz, I'm going to tell you something. Man, oh, man, I was in the driver's. You ever been in the driver's seat? Well, I was in the driver. You ever been recruited? I felt recruited. First time in my life, I felt recruited. Well, that's a good feeling. I went out there and I accepted it. Boy, that was a good feeling. It was on the front page of the newspaper. Boy, that was a good feeling. And then I realized what I'd done. I followed one of the most popular ministers they'd ever had in their history. And I was 38 years old, going to a 4,000-member church. I was scared out of my mind. Scared out of my mind. You ever been scared out of your mind? I was scared out of my mind. I wasn't going to tell anybody that. But I was scared. I was scared. First Sunday, preached my first sermon there. People started coming through the line. You know how you do. And these people, one after another, they came up to me and they said this. I'll never forget it. They said, "We have already decided to love you." That's what they said. Can you imagine that? The craziest thing I ever heard. That's ridiculous. They said, "We have already decided to love you." Because you know, I've been raised. I bet you were raised this way too. No, love is about relationships. Look, you got to earn somebody's love. It doesn't just happen. And these people said, "We've already decided to love you." Oh, yeah. What do you know? You know what I discovered? I was wrong and they were right. Wasn't the first time that happened. Wasn't going to be the last either. I was wrong. They were right. They decided. Those people decided they were going to love me. And they were going to support me. That's what they decided. You know how they were able to do that? The way they were able to do that is, we have that choice, you and I. We have that choice. We can choose what we put in our bottle. And we can choose to love or not. So we're back to our question. Remember? Back to our question that we started with. It's an important question. Here it is. What's in your bottle? What's in your bottle? That's the question. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.